And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, September the 6th, 2025 here. It's Season 19, Episode 27. I believe that is correct. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. Here is that. Get that done and out of the way. Welcome in. Hope you guys had a great 2 weeks. And we're going to get into, you know, everything we did over that. Show note, however, to tell you about next week's episode. And I'll go into this a little bit later once we do our intros here. But we're going to have a an interview next weekend. And I pulled his name up. And I'm going to mispronounce his last name because that's just how I operate.
It's part of our charm.
And I hope he doesn't mind. I think I can get it. But anyway, his name is Aaron Gwinnair.
Spell it for me.
G-W-Y.
Okay.
N-A-I-R-E. Gwinnair. I think.
Sounds
I think.
Right.
It's not right. Tsushima. So. No. At least I got that going for me.
Yeah, but Tsushima you had practice with, so yeah.
Oh,
we got
God.
That.
Even practice, it was still coming out wrong, man. It didn't matter, you know? It was, what was it, performance anxiety. I could say it all over the place when the microphone's not in front of my face, but yeah. As soon as it's being recorded or listened to in any sort of manner or way, Shashima?
Yeah. Stuff happens.
Shashima. Anyway. He's going to be on the show with us for the first hour. Didn't take into account that he is in the UK, and it is normally we do our interviews in the second hour of the show, which is like 11 p.m. their time. Being that he's our guest, he's gracing us with doing an interview. I was like, sure, we can do it. So top of the hour, we'll run through our intro, but we'll be talking to him first thing on next week's episode. Now. I'll tell you why we'll be talking to him coming up after I do the introduction here and tell you that, hey, don't forget to look for us out on Discord. We have a Discord set up there where you can jump in. In fact, that's how we're going to be doing the interview next week is through Discord. And I got to get him all set up and everything with that. You can also find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook and Blue Sky there with In-Game Chat. You can email us everyone at InGameChat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch. If you go to twitch.tv, you can watch the show live while we broadcast and jump into the chat room, which is going strong right now, live while we broadcast as well. And so thank you so much, everybody, for coming in. Now, let's get through what we've been doing the past 2 weeks. RJ, go!
Well, what I've been playing mostly is The Division 2 these past 2 weeks. What I've been doing was trying to basically finish. I had some unfinished business.
Yeah.
That I wanted to finish up on the game, basically getting all the perks and updates loaded for each class that you can get in the specializations for the game. And it was just something that was just bothering me that I was just looking up one day and decided to go ahead and finish it off. Wasn't playing with anybody, no parties online, things like that. All my friends who are playing it are gone off to different things.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a solo act of me doing things like that. And it wasn't really hard. Basically, it was just... take out this many enemies in this certain fashion, or take out this certain person or that other person on hard level or above missions and things of that nature. But playing through the thing, I'm still having a good time with the mechanics of the game, especially the shooting. Especially still one of my favorite weapons in the game is still the 1886, which is basically a scout rifle like in Destiny, something that goes clear across the map and can hit for a lot of damage.
Something with range.
Yeah, something with range and the headshot. So I was taking care of that most of these past 2 weeks. Played a little bit more of Virtua Fighter, had some new faces in the leagues that I'm playing every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Had some folks come from different groups that had their own thing going later, and then they just came together because our main runner of the league had some issues that he had to deal with, so he couldn't run it. So one of his partners did. So shout outs to Chan Chai for holding the fort down for the Sunday league that day.
Dang, good.
So we had a bunch of new folks come in, and I got some new experiences playing with different players and different characters. Added more folks to the friends list, which is always good
yeah.
for actual competition for people who play
and
the
always,
game.
And to have people who are going to be there that you can...
Yeah, you can always rely on being there.
Hey, there's somebody there I can jump in and do a run with.
Yeah.
You know?
Unfortunately, I missed some invites because I was away or at work, and I just found out the PlayStation app if you're still signed on with the app, it still says you're like signed on apparently, because I was getting messages left and right and someone thinking I was online, but no, I was at work.
Yeah.
So I couldn't jump in and play with them. So I missed opportunity, but I'll get back in touch with them and see if I can get a few matches put up. Other than that, that's been pretty much it with all I've been playing over the holiday.
Yeah. For me, it was a lot of different things. I got back into my Steam Deck for a little bit and played. So this is just offhand. So I went and grabbed, long time ago, I modded out my Steam Deck so I could play retro games on there. NES classics, things like that. And, you know, I grabbed, you know, you go and you find, like, here's a collection of ROMs and whatever. And it's like a ton of stuff. You just throw it on there.
Heck, that's like what it's for.
I know.
To get your retros back, really.
But the thing about it is I didn't go through and, like, all right, I don't want this one. I didn't go through every single thing to be like, I don't really want that, or I don't need, you know, something I don't want to play.
So, yeah, that ROM didn't work. Yeah.
Well, no, it's not the fact that it doesn't work. There's a lot of homebrew.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, people took a game and then they reskinned it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I played. What got me into? Something got me into Donkey Kong.
The arcade original, or?
Well, yeah, the old arcade, old arcade games.
Barrel jumping.
Yeah, and I can't remember what it was. Something was getting me into this. Something was, like, drawing me into, like, Donkey Kong.
Or just some retro game you were playing that made you think of other retros in the past.
No, it wasn't anything like that. It wasn't that. It was something I don't remember. It might have been a trivia question. It might have been something. I don't know, but it brought me into Donkey Kong. And I was like, you know, I haven't played Donkey Kong in a while. Let me look at the Donkey Kongs that I got on my retro. Because I've got a bunch. You know, you got your arcade version. Then I've got the old NES Donkey Kong Classics, which is basically 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., and then Donkey Kong 3.
Yeah. That one got dark.
Which one?
3.
3? Well, that's because...
Yeah, I mean, in the other Donkey Kongs, you get knocked out. You know, you, like, tumble over, and you got the little hell on the head, things like that. Donkey Kong 3, you lose a life, you get 8.
Oh, really?
You get 8 by bees.
Oh, well, bees, yes. The bees kill you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But something got me into that. So I'm looking at my list of Donkey Kong games on my Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one called Freddy vs. Jason.
Okay.
And it's a completely reskinned Donkey Kong. Oh, it's the old 80s Donkey Kong arcade.
Yeah.
And you play as a little tiny Freddy Krueger. And Jason's this big dude sitting up on the thing.
Yeah.
And all he does is, like, he throws knives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's knives that are spinning as though they were barrels going down the thing, but he'll also throw them down into the whatever. And as Freddy, you have to climb the stairs. You know, you just have to do everything else. I played through all three levels, even the one where Donkey Kong falls after you do all
the rivets.
Yeah,
take the rivets
off
the each
exactly.
Stairway. Yeah,
and but it was Jason, and so. Yeah, I played through that, and that was my little bit of Donkey Kong. I was looking for Donkey Kong games, and I was like, "What is this?" And so I fired it up, and I was like, "Oh, okay, this is copyright hell. This is Donkey Kong, but it's also grabbing two different films and putting it over there. So this is just horrible." So that was one of the interesting things that I played. But I was on my Steam Deck, and I played more of Kato Buttered Cat.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one where you play as a cat that has buttered toast on its back.
Yeah, you determine which side lands.
Right,
on the,
if you want to float, you just jump, and the cat spins a bunch. But anyway, it's that whole thing where buttered side down, that sort of stuff. Anyway, played some more of that. Really good puzzling in that game. Extremely good puzzling in that game. I say extremely good puzzling. Like, I would get stumped and just sit there and try and figure something out. I was like, I'm done. And so I'll put it down. I woke up the next morning. Literally, I'm not kidding. Next morning, I go and I fire it up. And just from the very first view of the level of where I was like, oh, this is how you do it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my brain had been fried through a couple of levels. And by that time, something very simple, because it felt very simple when I figured it out.
Yeah.
But the night before, that's not simple at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very, very difficult. I played that. The other day I had lost internet at the house. There was a big outage.
About to say storm something? Or?
No, it was just a big outage in my area. They did one of those credits because it's like, hey, you have downtime, and so we're going to credit you on your bill. And I got, hey, you'll see a credit of $3.17. I'm like, okay, well,
that's
$3.17 I don't have to worry about, I guess.
That's a candy bar. Have at it.
Something. Anyway, so during that time, I was relegated to any game that I had that didn't need an online connection, which unfortunately Snap does, and I didn't need to download. It didn't need to connect to servers.
Yeah, that's something you don't think about much now. Yeah. Like the games that you can play that doesn't need internet at all, or for an update.
There are games that won't
let you play until you update.
Until you update it, but not even the update. There were a couple of them that I tried to fire up. Said, "Hey, we can't access the cloud servers, and so your game save may be erased, overwritten. Because if you're playing, and the internet comes back, something like that, it's going to try and sync what you've just done, and it'll overwrite whatever's on the cloud servers. So a lot of that stuff, I was like, okay, I don't want to risk that either.
Yeah.
So I played a demo that I had played previous and didn't really get the gist of it.
Mm-hmm.
Except I suddenly did while I had to focus there, and it was the only thing I could play.
Yeah.
I suddenly learned the gist of it, basically. Mm-hmm. It's called Raccoin, I think.
Raccoin.
Okay. Yeah. I know. It's very strange. It's a raccoon who's operating this coin-operated arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
That it's the old thing where you put in coins and then the shelf pushes the coins off the off the thing. Anyway, it's done so in a way that it gives me Balatro vibes.
Hmm.
Is it going to be as great as Balatro is? No. But it has that mechanic going for it. So every round, you take your winnings and you go to the shop to buy certain things that may help your next run.
Mm-hmm.
Certain power-ups, you can also buy coins that you can put in the machine that have special abilities. And each round, there's 10, you have a higher and higher goal to reach as far as the money coming off of there. And the more money you knock off, the more you move up a multiplier. So as the multiplier comes up and you knock more coins off, you're getting more than what you're dropping off there.
Mm-hmm.
And every, I don't know how many multiplier sets or whatever that you get to spin a wheel that will drop something on the board that's usually beneficial to you, or it'll give something into your inventory, or it'll give you tickets. Tickets, you can, I think you have 10 tickets that you can exchange for money. So in other words, if you run out of coins and you haven't met your goal, you can exchange a ticket to get more coins to try and reach your goal.
Mm-hmm.
But you only get like 10 shots. Unless, of course, you get a power-up that does something differently that helps you out with that card.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of those. There's plenty, and I don't know, I haven't gotten through all of it. There's different characters to play with who have different abilities from the beginning. And then there's different power-ups that you go through to try and make it through all 10 rounds of the machine. So
I was thinking part of the allure of Balatro was the different type of jokers that you could get. So is that the coins that you can buy?
That's the problem. The coins don't stay with you. In other words, the coins you use, they don't stay. Like jokers stay throughout the thing unless you decide to delete them or whatever.
So these are like a one and done?
The coins are one and done, and the power-ups are one and done as well.
Mm.
There are, however, I didn't want to get into too much detail on it because I'm not exactly sure on what everything's called and how it all works. But I don't know what the power-up was called. I just know that you could shake the machine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And like you had, tilt on a pin, but just...
Basically, yeah. It would never tilt, but you could shake the machine
because
you had that ability. And that ability gives you 3 shakes per game. But you can do 1 shake, and if you knock off enough coins or enough multipliers with the coins or whatever the case may be, you can earn that back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I would get close to where I needed to be as far as maybe getting a spin or maybe getting a high multiplier. Then I would shake the machine, And with that going in and also having a multiplier on top of it, I would earn back the shake that I just used. Mm-hmm. It was kind of nice to do that. But there's a bunch of, I think you can hold like five different kind of, I guess, abilities is what those would be called. Mm-hmm. Those would kind of be your jokers.
Yeah. Because, yeah, Bellagio's like that. You think the max is like five jokers. You
can hold five, at one time. Yeah. And I haven't discovered all of them yet.
Yep.
There's a thing that makes it works a lot like Bellatro. There's a thing that makes items in the store cost less.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pick that up. There's little things like that. So
yeah.
I think there's a demo on Steam. I don't own the game. It was a playtest is what it was, which is why I was just going through it. But I did beat it while I was sitting there with no internet. I did get through all 10 levels without using a single exchange ticket, which was surprising given how many rounds I had played previous.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that was fun to do. I played a Batman game,
mm-hmm.
the handheld, Batman Arkham, Blackgate
Prison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a side scroller type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was made for handhelds
mm-hmm.
and then they eventually released it on PC and I played it on my deck, but then I also played it on the PC as well. And it's kind of fun to get back in there because, yeah, it's got some of the fighting in there. Even though it's side-scroller, it's still got that
mm-hmm.
Batman combat that I enjoyed so much.
Yep.
So
got those long chains and combos you can do in there, yeah?
Yeah, not as many as you'd think. Like, they just don't give you a lot of enemies on screen.
Oh, okay.
Like they do in the AAAs, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
in the mainline games.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just don't give you that many enemies on the screen to deal with. Yeah, I actually played a lot. Man, I got back into not Astrobot,
mm-hmm.
not the most recent Astrobot game, but the one that packed in with the PlayStation 5. Astro's Playroom is what it's called. That thing has been sitting. In fact, I went through my trophies yesterday because I finished it yesterday.
Yeah.
I had been playing like daily. I'd gone through some of the levels that were in there that I had never done before and going through and grabbing all the different things that you can do in the levels and stuff like that. It's practically a tech demo and also a massive nostalgia trip through the PlayStation series because each four levels represents an era of PlayStation. In other words, as you're going through these levels, you can find artifacts. And the artifacts are going to be things like the VR. The PlayStation VR is an artifact. Or the old memory cards from PlayStation 1. That's an mm-hmm. artifact. All the peripherals, all the controllers, that sort of thing. But the thing you get, the artifact you get at the end of every level, and there's only four, is the console. So there's a PS1, PS2, PS3, PS4. And then a secret level opens up where you get the PS5. And so going through that after playing Astrobot and then going through Astro's Playroom, the charm that I found in Astrobot is right there in Playroom as well. And just really, really, I mean, I don't want to say it's genius or anything, but it's just extremely well done. They're really, really good at what they do. And I really hope we get more from them. The free levels that they're giving out is great, but I mean, I really hope we get something more from them down the road. I hope this is not the last time we hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it will be, given the success of Astrobot. But, yeah, going back to Astro's Playroom was fantastic. Getting everything that I needed, going through the different ways you could play, but using the touch pad, using the microphone effect. Because like I said, it's a tech demo.
Mm-hmm.
So almost everything on the level has something to do with your controller or the machine itself, whatever the case. And yeah, it's just got a lot. It's just oozing with charm. Oozing with charm. And so that was great. And I also played It Takes Two, which is my first of that guy's game. Safran, I believe is his name.
Hmm.
Oh, man, I don't remember his first name, but he did Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, A Way Out, Split Fiction, which is the most recent one that they did.
Yeah.
And It Takes Two as well. Great, great game. Some of the levels seemed overly long. Like, there were points where I thought it was a boss fight that would end the level, but no, I guess it was just a mini-boss or something.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the levels felt just like, this has gone on for too long. Mm. You know, it's like, I need to move out of this section. I'm seeing too much of this. Let's move into the next thing, please.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, that was good as well. And did I play? I played Snap, of course. I think that's about it that I played. The thing about it is that for the past, I don't know how many weeks now, I've been looking for something to hold me over.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, just dipping back into my backlog and kind of committing to some stuff. I was like, oh, okay. Because Blackgate, I really want to go back into and finish that because I'm finally getting a hang on it mm-hmm. with what to do. Been a minute since I've done any Batman game. I played Brotato as well.
Okay.
That's another one I played, Brotato. I liked playing that. But I don't want to get too much into that because I know Ball Pit is coming out next month, and that's going to be my roguelike whatever kind of thing that is.
Mm-hmm.
Roguelike shooter power-up thing.
Fun game you're playing.
Yeah, it's going to be my next one that I bang my head against a wall with. So that I look forward to as well. But I did play. I played some Brotato and enjoyed it. And I'm trying to think. Was there anything else that I went into Game Pass because I was going to play the DLC for Indiana Jones dropped this week. The Order of Giants, I believe, is what it's called. And I was going to go play that. And I opened up. I did play two other games. I meant to mention. I opened up my Xbox Game Pass thing on my PC, and you got to buy it. I thought it was free. I thought it was a Game Pass thing, but nope, you got to buy it. And I just ain't going to put $18 into your DLC. It might be fantastic. It might be great. They have a nice little difficulty mechanic that is based on how quickly you beat the main game. If you beat the main game pretty quickly, I guess the difficulty ramps up for this, I suppose. And if you want it to, I think it's an option. I don't think it's something that you have to deal with. I think you can just select it if you want to.
Yeah, I think we've seen it before where the better you perform, the higher the difficulty goes up. Some it's automatic. Some you, like you said, I haven't seen the feature where you can actually cut that off or, what was it called, adaptive difficulty or something like that. Yeah.
Thar says it's 5 hours long. If you're talking about the DLC, yeah, see, I haven't even read reviews on it, honestly. But if it's 5 hours long, that's not bad. You know, it's on sale for Game Pass users, like $17. That's not bad for a piece of DLC, I suppose. Might actually be fair in that regard. I mean, you know, almost 6 hour long DLC, depending. Yeah, they say 5 hours. I don't know if that's like 100% or if that's a, you know, average play time. I don't know what that means, but.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, a five-hour-long DLC. That's not bad.
I'll check that for Lies of P then, because Lies of P kit was free, but the DLC is, like, last time I checked, was $30. So how much am I getting for $30?
I'm curious
DLC?
About that. I think it's pretty good DLC for that, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't look at it. I think the reviews are all pretty good for it.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So on Game Pass, there were two games that I played very, very short amount of time. Interested in both. One was called Wheel World, which you basically play as a bike rider. Not a motorcycle, but a bicycle rider.
Yeah, this ain't Excitebike.
No, it's nothing like that, but it's got races and jumps, and it's got upgrades to your bike and things like that, and it's very casual, cozy type thing.
I wonder if it's anything like Ollie Ollie.
It's not. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily anything like that. Then again, maybe it's the same. It's got a... Nah. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And then the other one was Herdling. I think it's Herdling? Herdling. I think. Anyway, you play as a... some person who is corralling these animals.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily any animals that we know of. Not like goats and sheep and stuff like that. They're these made-up fantasy animals.
Mm-hmm.
But it was made by the same people who made Far, I think is the name of the game. They made two games in that series, and both of them were excellent that I played. I played one on the Switch, It was really, really good. And Hurdling I played on Game Pass. It's free on Game Pass if you've got Game Pass. I made it through like the first chapter, I think, and really enjoyed it. It is very casual. It's very calm. It's very puzzly. But there's not like as a death or something like that. It's just, you know, I guess so far I haven't gotten into something that may kill me. But it's not bad. It really was not bad. It was the fact that they pulled it off in that first level. I thought, ah, okay, this is the Far Guys, and they're doing what they're doing, and they I think they've got this. So it felt really good to play. So yeah, there you go. After a weeks and weeks and weeks of like, I tried something, but I couldn't do it. I tried so many things, and I have so much now that I can go back to and play again that I would be fine doing.
Yep.
So there. There's where we are.
This game's to hold you over to the next thing, yeah.
Really, it really, really is. And being the next thing right now is going to be the Ball X Pit. There's
is that
got
early next month or late next month?
Mid.
Mid, okay.
Like the 15th or 12th.
Okay, it's not too bad, yeah.
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 I think. I'd have to go look, but it's around that time. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I got plenty to keep me busy during that time. That's all backlog stuff.
Yep.
Or is all Game Pass stuff that I can play. So, all right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I will tell you about Aaron Guinier and what he's going to be on the show for next week. And we'll also jump into some news that we've got as well. It's all coming up ahead on the show. Right now, it is Retro Week, of course. And Dave has been giving me a running commentary because he's been listening. And, oh, wow, he showed me, he showed me a reskinned Donkey Kong, but with aliens. So in other words, like, the head alien, of course, is at the top as Donkey Kong, and you're Ripley as, you know, Mario. And a bunch of, what were they called? The ones that jump
heads.
On... Face huggers.
Face huggers.
Bunch of face huggers roll down the thing. There are eggs. The eggs are there. I guess the eggs act as the fireball, maybe?
I don't know. Are there guns involved?
There is. You pick up a gun where the hammers are.
Yeah.
That's where the guns are.
Okay.
So, yeah. That's fantastic, Dave. Thank you. Anyway, speaking of retro, it's our retro games, game bumper music week here. And the theme this week is light gun games. Now, I told Dave that. He's like, oh, did you get any of Hogan's Alley? You know, the old thing. And I told him, I said, no on Hogan's Alley. If you go look up Hogan's Alley, they're all 20 seconds or less. Because that's the only music in it. There's music that plays as the title drops down. When the title drops down, it's finished. The music stops. When you select a level and the level loads up, there's music that plays for about 15 to 20 seconds, maybe less. But as soon as the level loads, it's quiet and all you get is the pachow, pachow, you know, when you're shooting your gun. That's it. You get sound effects. And when the round's over, you get even like a 5-second little music interlude and then move on from there. There's nothing I could use for time. It's not there. I would love to, because it's great.
Only if you loop it.
Oh, God. But I can... even if it's 20 seconds, because you got to find a loop in there somewhere.
Yep.
Looping that would just be annoying for like a minute and a half or however long you go with it. The loop would be too short, and it would just be so repetitive. So, anyway, our first one here is Virtua Cop. So, we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. Hey, that is welcome back to In Game Chat. That's music from Terminator 2, the light gun game in the arcade. Most of these are from arcade, if I could. I will apologize because the next two are from the same series of games, but the they're different. What's the term? Completely different genres. So, yeah, but they're from the same series of games. So there's a hint for you. You'll know about it when we go into the next one because I'll tell you what it is and you'll know then. So there you go. Next week's episode. At the beginning, we're going to be interviewing Aaron Guinier. And you can look him up. He is the solo developer? Yeah, he is a full-time solo indie game developer. He runs Defy Reality Entertainment. And he has made a game that just launched this week. And I hope I am pronouncing it correct. I have not played the game yet, but it is called Nia. And he will help me with that pronunciation next week. N-E-Y-Y-A-H is the name of the game. Nia.
I'm thinking Nia.
Yeah, Nia is probably more correct to say that that's what that is. It is a genuine point-and-click adventure-type game.
Okay.
In the vein of, now, I'll tell you Myst and Riven, but he'll be more specific and say it's way more closer related to Riven than it would be to Myst. I don't necessarily know what he would consider the difference between the two being, other than Riven was far larger than what Myst was. It was the sequel to Myst, and it was much, much larger. And some of the puzzles were far more difficult, one specifically. But anyway, it's an homage to that. It is greatly inspired by it. It's got full motion video in it, but all the screens are static. You switch by moving, you know, your mouse over to the left or the right, and you click, and then it changes perspectives. You know, click on the center, and you'll go forward, back, and that sort of thing. It's one of those types of games, and it's all puzzles and stuff like that. And it plops you in there and doesn't tell you anything. You have to figure it all out yourself, just like Myst did. Just kind of threw you in there, and it's like, okay, you figure this out. We're not going to hold your hand whatsoever. So, yeah, we're going to be interviewing him for that game. It's out now on Steam. I think there's a discount currently for it if you're interested for what it is. So, yeah, we'll be talking to him next week on the show. I would say if you do have questions for him, any kind of questions like that, you feel free to drop them into Discord somewhere. Just let me know. If you want to put it in the on-air chat channel of Discord and just throw it down in there, that's fine. We'll ask him on the show next week. So just to give you a heads up about what we're doing, what we're talking about, I saw him post. Well, for one, I played the demo way back in February, I think. The one of the first of the years when Steam did their Next Fest, and I played a very small portion of it because I was just like, oh, I know this I know. This is something I know. I don't need to play more of it. I got into it and I was like, I know what this is.
It's right up your alley.
Yeah. This is my thing. So there's added to the wish list it went. But I'm also on the Myst subreddit, and he posted in there saying my new game comes out. And that's, you know, otherwise I wouldn't have known. I would not have looked up the publisher. Well, the publisher is Microprose, but the developer is, what did we say it was called?
Defy Reality.
Defy Reality Entertainment. I would not have clicked on that. I would not have tried to, you know, it was just something that would not have, I never would have thought it. But to see him post in there and have a direct connection to him, because I haven't gotten any kind of PR email for it or anything like that. He just posted there, and I was like, ooh, hey, would you be interested in talking about the game? And he absolutely was down for it. And so we set it up a couple of weeks back, but really only finalized the date here just recently. So next week on the show, to open the show, we're going to be talking to Aaron Guinier. All right, so it has been a couple of 2 weeks. And what all do we have? to talk about? I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to hit some small ones here or if I want to hit what would be the big ones. I'm not sure. I think all we have is just little bitty news here and there. Looking here myself. And well, Silk Song is the big one, right? Yeah, PAX West happened. Silk Song got released. So, in fact, Silk Song, which it just did a number on every platform that it was released on. But not only that, where's the other one that I had? Oh, yeah, from PC Gamer. Every game that got out of the way whenever... So Silk Song had a release date announcement just a few weeks ago. Everybody knew the game was going to be coming out. They didn't know when the game was going to be coming out, but they knew at some point the game was going to be coming out. Then there was a teaser that was done at the Game Award, not the Game Awards, at the whatever, Gamescom.
Yeah.
That said, hey, here's the game. We finally got our first look at it, and... there's going to be a big, you know, deep dive thing coming up next week or something like that. And with that, you got price and you got release date. And as soon as the release date was announced, because it was so short between knowing about it and when it was going to release, a bunch of other games got out of the way pretty quick. They knew. This is the GTA 6 effect, you know, yeah. Kind of thing. Or the GTA 6 Lite. Yeah, the GTA effect.
Yeah.
Which is, if a Grand Theft Auto is getting released, you get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And given the fact that this is such a huge demand of this game, which it's not that I don't understand why people are excited for it. It's just that I didn't play the first game, and I have I don't know anything about the concept of it.
Yeah.
But I do know... A lot of people were waiting for the sequel.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Hollow Knight Silk Song, the Metroidvania that has now claimed at least 8 victims since its surprise release date announcement earlier this month. When I say victims, I mean other video games. And by claimed, I mean that Silk Song's looming launch has led those games to adjust their own release plans so as not to be caught in the blast radius. What did we have? How many did we have? Clover Pit. It is a Balatro-like slot machine game that moved from September 3rd to September 26th. What else do we get? A game called Stomp, a Kickstarter, had been planned for September 12th with a demo launching on Steam August 29th. But both of those have been delayed to an unspecified date. Stomp has been delayed. And so has Stomp and the Sword of Miracles is what it's called. Feyland, more than 7 years after a successful Kickstarter, Feyland was set to launch on September 9th. No longer. They released a statement saying, "We've poured years of work and love into Feyland," if I'm pronouncing that right, I don't know, "and we want to make sure it arrives at a time when it can receive the attention and care it deserves. A new date has not been announced, but it is coming soon." Eterna Lucis, maybe? It's a sequel to a well-received Metroidvania, Eterna Noctis, and it was aiming for a September release, but now is pushed back to next year. Basically because they're like, we were going to come out around this time, but not now.
Hmm. You have a long pushback for that one, isn't it?
To go all the way to next year.
Other places are going a month maybe. I mean, to let the fire die down, yeah, but next year?
Oh, here it is. Eternium Games, or Eternium Games Studios... For that specific game we're talking about.
Yeah.
Pointed the finger at Silk Song, but also acknowledged that it still doesn't have the dev kits it needs for a simultaneous release on all next-gen platforms.
Okay. Yeah.
So they were going to release at least on PC, but that did not happen. Let's see, what else? A game called Demon School. They released a statement saying we would not be doing Demon School any favors by wading into waters we clearly see are blood red. It's now set for November 19th, a longer than most delay because October is crowded as hell, too. I don't know what's coming out in October. I'm not sure. I haven't looked up other than the games that I'm interested in. The Ball Pit game.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's coming out in October. I can't remember anything else that may be coming out in October. But I'm sure there's stuff. I just don't know what it is. Maybe Call of Duty in there? I don't know. Let's see. The 1.0 release of Little Witch in the Woods. They were going to release on September 4th. They have knocked it back to September 15th, saying that Silksong is a game we look up to with awe as developers and eagerly anticipate as players. Given its immense influence, we fear that launching Little Witch in the Woods on the same day would not only dishearten our dedicated team, but also disappoint our devoted audience. Oh, wow, this is a big one. Baby Steps. These are the guys that did Quap.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it, Getting Over It?
Getting Over It, yeah.
Yeah.
The rage-inducing titles, yeah.
His open-world walking simulator has also been pushed back. It was going to be released on September 8th, but now it is being pushed back to September 23rd. So, yeah, a lot of games kind of just got out of the way when that was being announced. And then when it did release, it crashed Steam. As I type these words, attempting to access the Steam store results in an E502L3 error message and a bashful something went wrong message. I know it went wrong, Steam. Everyone clicked the Silksong button at the same time. With 36 million users online, SteamStat.us currently lists the Steam store as operating at a very slow capacity, occasionally ticking over to a concerned yellow bad gateway message. It's worth mentioning, of course, that Hollow Knight Silksong was never up for pre-order. Anyone who wanted day one access to the game had to turn up at this specific time on the dot and buy it. So you couldn't do it ahead of time. Would allowing pre-orders rather than forcing the game's incredibly thirsty fans and legions of curious onlookers to all show up at once have alleviated the situation? Probably a bit, but it would have been much less funny. Social media is awash with Steam users rather shocked and or miffed by the whole thing. The fact that they have broken Steam on doing that. However, it did come back not very long afterwards. But I had also heard that there were slow connections on every other store that it was released on.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, by the way, on Game Pass. I noticed that when I went to play the Indiana Jones DLC, only to find out that I couldn't because I had to buy it. I thought I was going to get all of it there for Game Pass, but no, that is not the case. DLC does not count. If you get Day 1 Game Pass, DLC does not count for some reason, but it doesn't. So, but going on there, that's when I noticed, oh, Silksong is here. So I didn't know that it was going to get a Game Pass release. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's Steam Deck verified, I believe. Which means, you know, getting it on PC gives you the ability to play it portably,
mm-hmm.
whereas getting it on Game Pass, even if it's on PC, still won't allow you to play it portably.
Mm.
I mean, you could mod your Steam Deck to get it to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to put...
Heck, that's what everyone's doing with their Steam Deck or portables
or
whatever.
Yeah, you can. Doing it that way, getting things like Epic Games, the Epic Games Store to run, the Game Pass to run, GOG, good old games, any of the other places that I have games at can work on my Steam Deck, but because it is Linux-based, I have to install, like, what is it called, Wine? It's a Windows, like, emulator
mm-hmm.
on Linux or something. And so then I could do that, but that would mean that when I fire up my Steam Deck, I need to go to the desktop, need to run the Wine, need to then click from there to open everything up and play it that way. Worth it, maybe, if you want to go through those steps, or just buy it on Steam. Then you don't have to worry about
it. But apparently everyone had the same idea, so.
Yeah.
So everyone bogged that thing down.
Right. I was looking at the chat room here.
Probably 10 o'clock our time. They're ready to pop it at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I know it's not. I know Wine is not an emulator. It just meant it's a Windows, whatever it is. It allows you to run Windows on Linux,
mm-hmm.
I believe, and I could be wrong. AC Wraith. Actually, I say on Linux, but I think you can use it on Mac too. I can't remember. But yeah, they didn't allow pre-orders because of something with, and they also didn't send out review code to any place, which was fine. It was never going to matter.
Yeah.
No one was waiting for a review for that game. They were ready to buy it, sight unseen. It's just what the abbreviation stands for. Thank you. For the wine. Silksong, the developers had mentioned something like, we're not going to let you pre-order it. Something about the fact that this was a Kickstarter-type game. In other words, there were backers for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't getting codes until release day either. So they didn't want to give anybody else earlier access to it than the people who backed the game themselves.
Right.
If everybody was going to get it, they were all going to get it at the same time. Nobody was going to get the advance because apparently in the Kickstarter there was nothing where, oh, you'll get to play the game, 10 days in advance or 3 days in advance. Nothing was like that that was there. But they didn't want people who weren't backers playing it before the people who put the money in it already.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the reason they held off on a lot of that stuff. So I thought that was, I'd say nice of them, but with the massive hunger that was around for this game, didn't matter. People were going to play it regardless. People were going to buy it regardless. It's sort of gives you an idea of what's to come with Grand Theft Auto.
Mm-hmm.
Although Grand Theft Auto will get a pre-order if it doesn't already have a pre-order. You'll be able to pre-order that. It won't be everybody going in at the same time hitting the button. But I got to think it's going to be massive. Well, it's not because it's all console. I forgot about that. It's not getting a PC release.
Hmm.
I mean, it will maybe at
not
some
yet.
Point.
Yeah, will eventually, but yeah.
But it's not going to get a PC. So yeah, it's just going to be console, which is kind of worse or just as bad because the servers on those consoles are going to be sweating.
Mm-hmm.
Day one with all the people downloading the damn game.
Yeah, you know how it is. AAA title that you buy, what's the first thing you got to do?
Update download? There'll be an update. I mean, for GTA, yeah, there'll be an update. But you also have to download the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
Download the game proper to put it on the hard drive or whatever with the disc in the system. It's another rant to go into if you want to. All right, we're going to take a break, and we are going to, when we come back, I don't know what we'll jump into. There was some Nintendo stuff that weren't really, it wasn't, controversial or anything. There was some stuff that came out during Gamescom. There was Gamescom, and there was PAX happened over the weekend.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of some stuff from PAX. It was kind of neat, but not too much. It made me sad that I wasn't there. Miss going to PAX. I miss going to Seattle. Miss talking to folks out there and setting up interviews and getting things done. I miss getting that sort of stuff done there in PAX. I miss going. But I watched some of their streams on Twitch, and it was really nice to see. Didn't see any of the concerts or anything. I don't know that they put those on Twitch or not, but didn't see any of that stuff, but it was good to see PAX still going strong, man, still doing their thing. I think the next thing we've got coming up is Tokyo Game Show. I believe is the next one. I think it's Tokyo Game Show, then it is the Game Awards in December. I believe. Are you looking up Tokyo Game Show?
Yeah, late September.
Okay, yeah. So it's on the way. All right, when we come back, we'll jump back into the news. But now we're going to... This is the first of music that you're going to hear. And probably when we come back, you'll hear the other music from the game as well. This is from Lethal Enforcers 3.
Mm.
And I don't remember Lethal Enforcers, the first one, but I do remember Lethal Enforcers 2, which was set in the West, in the Old West.
Yeah, one was Cops in the City.
Okay.
You know, the pink and blue guns.
Yeah.
That's what they were known for, really.
Two was in the West.
Two was in the Wild West.
And I don't know what three was.
Me neither, because I can't recall three at all.
This says Lethal Enforcers 3 on the YouTube thing that I grabbed. Mm. I don't remember it, but you may want to look it up. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back into In-Game Chat. This is music from Lethal Enforcers 2, Gunfighters. We got a light gun classic coming up as we go into the next break, so stick around for that one. Any guesses?
Classic light gun?
Yeah, I mean, just a classic light gun. And I'm talking arcade, so don't be like, oh, Duck Hunt. Which, by the way, for anybody asking about Duck Hunt, go look up the amount of music in it, and it's all like 20, 15 seconds.
Yeah.
That's about it. So, arcade classic light gun game.
House of the Dead.
You'll find out.
Okay.
Coming up at the end of this segment. All right. Look at that. I incorporated a tease into the show. That's nice. I'm doing radio. What do we have in new stuff? So, two reports on this, and I'm going to both of them, and I think one of them references the other. It was Digital Foundry which did it. They're DF Direct Weekly podcasts. The host had reported that they had been told by numerous developers that they were still unable to get a hold of a development kit to make Switch 2 games. I mean, this article was posted in August 26th. You know, Switch 2 has been released since June 5th, I think. First week of June.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Digital Foundry guys, some developers were instead being told to make games for the original Switch for now instead of specifically working on Switch 2-only titles. And I'm going to quote this. There's been a lot of talk about this lately that Nintendo seems to be almost discouraging Switch 2 development to some degree. I've spoken with plenty of developers where they were told that their game, they should just ship it on Switch 1 and then rely on backwards compatibility for people to play it on the Switch 2. There's a lot of developers that are unable to get Switch 2 dev kits. We talked to a lot of devs at Gamescom this year, and so many of them said the same things. They want to ship on Switch 2. They would love to do Switch 2 versions. They can't get the hardware. It's really difficult right now. They noted that Nintendo's decision to send development kits to some studios but not others didn't appear to always make sense in his opinion, citing indie title Chillin' by the Fire, which was published by Oink Games and makes use of the Switch 2 camera, as one of the more unusual examples of a smaller studio being able to get a kit ahead of more established developers. I think they should get more dev kits out there, but I don't really know what Nintendo's mindset was with these sets of decisions. So I don't really understand the strategy, because like you said, even now developers are struggling to get the dev kit systems. And I know that some months ago when we were hearing things through the grapevine and talking to people that there were some weird exclusions with some big developers struggling to get kits for their games. And there were some kind of weird inclusions as well. Some indies were included, which was nice to see. But then there's that campfire game. You know, the camera campfire game, and they're getting kits. Some big developers, on the other hand, who develop AAA stuff, they're not in the pipeline to get their kits. And I have no idea why. They don't know why either. The Bear concluded that Nintendo's alleged advice of releasing games on Switch and relying on backwards compatibility isn't necessarily useful for games that push the original hardware to its limits. For starters, given that Switch's output resolution is 1080p when docked and 720p in handheld, which is a big difference between the Switch 2, that's 4K docked and 1080p handheld, means a less sharper image before taking game performance into account, which then, you know, there's the look of it and then there's the performance of it.
Mm-hmm.
Two things that you're going to be hindered by if you're trying to make a Switch 2 game, but it's like, well, let's just develop it for the Switch then.
Yeah.
It's not what you intended to do. Considering the sales volume of Switch 2, it's not like developers would be in a position where they didn't want to support the new hardware. I think broadly speaking, developers do want to support the new hardware. But the thing that's really stark to me, too, is at this point, we've seen very few proper Switch 2 editions post-launch. I don't think we've seen any, hardly at all, really, from third-party developers in particular. Obviously, we saw No Man's Sky. I think one or two other games in the mix there, but really it's been a very slow trickle of titles earning that Switch 2 edition badge. So yeah, I really want to see more movement on that front. I hope it's a temporary thing. I hope that in a year or two we're looking back and we're like, that was a really weird decision, but it was fixed in time. I hope that's what we're looking at in a little while, and that is the end of the article there.
I mean, like you said, the thought process, why pick those indies? Because are they showing off the tech of the Switch 2? Because you said the one was the one that uses the camera, the other one uses some other feature on the Switch.
You know, that's a good point.
I mean, yeah.
That's a really great point, because the camera is a peripheral that you can only buy from Nintendo. I mean, you can buy it from, like, Best Buy and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But Nintendo is the one that makes those.
Yeah.
So Nintendo gets that profit. So if you put out a game that utilizes that, it's going to sell more cameras, I guess.
Yeah.
Of course, if you think about it, if you're withholding, and I don't necessarily think they're withholding dev kits.
Mm-hmm.
But if you only have a certain amount, and you've got a company that says, well, we're going to utilize the camera with our dev kit, and you've got somebody else who's just like, nah, we're just making a game. Then, well, if we push this for the camera, people are going to buy the camera so they can play this game, even though it's probably not a great game.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a possibility of the decision.
Possible, but
because normally decisions like this are obviously made on money, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is going to get us money?
Yeah, one of them look good on paper, but in actual execution. Because mm-hmm. now you got folks who can't make their games for your system, and the more people would have picked that game up instead of the peripheral game.
Well, that's the other thing. They didn't tell, like, in that whole, I just read the entire article to you, and nowhere in that article, they bring up the game that got the dev kit,
mm-hmm.
but they never brought up any company. They just said AAA companies or AAA titles for release on the Switch 2. They never gave us a dev company. They never told us of a company. Mm-hmm. They never told us of a company. They never told us of a game that was pitched to be released on the Switch 2. They only told us about the other company that got one that made the campfire game.
Mm-hmm.
Name drop the other ones. What were they going to make? Mm. Right?
Yeah.
What were you going to make? Which we didn't get that information.
Mm.
In other words, a better idea of trying to figure out why Nintendo picked this company over this company doesn't tell us anything if you only tell us what one of those company was making and you don't tell us what the other one was doing. How do we know what the comparison is? I'm sure that campfire game is crap. I say that, and I probably shouldn't say that, but because I haven't played it. I don't know. Probably somebody put some effort into it, so it's probably got some merit to them, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it's one of those things where we're just going to take advantage of the hardware of putting a camera there, and you and a friend can sit at a campfire. You can see their face. They can see your face with the camera. Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. It just, given that article, doesn't seem like whatever this campfire game is was anything that was any kind of special. It just utilized a device that people had to go out and pay more money for.
Mm-hmm.
That Nintendo would make more money off of. So I don't know. But we don't have an idea of what the other games were going to be used, you know, were going to be made. Mm-hmm. No idea. So.
Yeah, that's typically the case, ain't it? That that peripheral that has for like maybe, what, 10%, 15% mm-hmm. of your total library uses the thing?
Man, I tell you, the 360 camera, whenever that released, I was all over it. Tons of my friends were all over it. It was a lot of the people that I went to PAX to with that we from the old Evil Avatar days, which thank God that site's dead. we had all gone to Penny Arcade Expo, and then we got our 360 cameras on the Xbox 360, and we were all playing Uno and all sorts of different things, and we could see each other's faces again. Mm-hmm. It was really great. There was a period of probably a good 6 months to a year where that camera was utilized, I would say, for the good of mankind, because it didn't take long for it to divulge into, well, that's bad for what people would display on their camera.
I know what you built it for, but give it time, and someone's going to...
Right. This was still back in the...
They're going to repurpose it for something else.
This was on the cusp of when it became, is that a camera? Well, here, let me show you this. Whereas before, it was like, oh, is that a camera? Oh, man, let me reach out to my friend and let's do a face chat thing, blah, 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 you know, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Especially on a video game, man.
Yeah.
On a video game console? This was before Call of Duty, before it got into the trash talking and everything else.
No, yeah, you know what you get in Call of Duty.
I understand, but yeah. I also think that probably... Look, trash talk has been around for a while, but I only think it really manifested itself during the Call of Duty, whatever that was. I don't want to call it a renaissance, because it's not. But during the Call of Duty surge,
yeah,
when that multiplayer took off, I think that's probably where a lot of it...
Yeah, you went from trash talk to borderline hate speech.
Yeah.
Going on there.
Yeah. Not even borderline, outright.
Yeah, so yeah, it was outright in some cases.
Yeah, boy, it did not bode well. But anyway, that camera was great for a while. Now, I can't see myself getting a camera for anything. I don't want to... we got cameras in here for the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's the limit for me.
Yeah.
I'm not putting a camera on my console or on my PC unless it is to do business.
Yeah.
And by business, I mean like do an interview that I'm going to air later, or I have to do something that requires the camera
me. That camera is, or anybody
like
streaming.
Like a Zoom conversation.
Yeah, anybody streaming. That camera is for you and only you. And you got a background in the back to not let anybody see what's behind you or anything like that. So as much control as possible. On that screen at any given time.
But I cannot see myself unless it's required. Like, I know the VR for PlayStation requires a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But, man, I can't see myself getting... It brings me back as well because, again, going back to the Astro's Playroom game that goes... It's basically a nostalgia product trip through everything Sony's made.
Yeah.
I got to see the PlayStation Eye, the other...
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The PSI, I think, was one of them. There was another camera that they released and a microphone that they released with it.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to that, I was like, oh, God, I remember the eye and I remember this. I remember all of these little things. It's like, oh, that was a good time back then whenever you had a camera that was utilized the way it was supposed to be utilized and not what the internet turned it into
mm-hmm.
or what most console players turned it into.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But that's what I think that is for the Nintendo thing. It's just like, it can sell one of our devices. Let's put that out there.
Yeah.
Greed. We'll call it that. We'll just call it greed. They'll call it a business decision.
No, business is going to business.
We'll call it greed. All right. So I don't know if you guys read the show posts that I do every week whenever I throw up the YouTube video and the iTunes stuff. There's always just, you know, there's a description. I try to go in there and I try to tell you a little bit about what we talked about. Mostly, I just kind of use it as a weekly diary almost. to tell you, here's what I've, you know, I'm still not there with playing things. Here's what I think about stuff. Because it's not only telling you about what is in the episode, but I've had more time to think about what we talked about and have more of an idea of here's what it really comes down to and this sort of thing. So it's almost like a closure of the show rather than it is a description of the show. However, at the end, for God knows how long now, I've been counting how many days it's been since we've had a Splinter Cell release. And I don't mean, in fact, I put it in there of how many different things. I'm not talking about a guest spot in a fighting game. I'm not talking about a mobile game. I'm not talking about a radio play.
Yeah.
Or a television set. I'm talking about a full-fledged entry into the game. I'm also not talking about remakes. Although at this point, I'm kind of ready to give Ubisoft just fine. I'll accept the remake or the whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll accept that and go from there. But I've been counting it down. We're up to 4,000 days, I think. Or we're about to hit 4,000 days.
Mm-hmm.
Since we've had a Splinter Cell release. 2012 was the last time Splinter Cell Blacklist was released. So in 2012. So it's been about 4,000 days.
Mm-hmm. True stealth.
Huh?
True. One of the fishes like the true.
Is it 4,000? Wait a second. I think I'm wrong. I think I'm wrong. Hang on. Let me look. Mm-hmm. Where is my show post from last week? Although it's been 2 weeks now. Oh, yeah. Okay, we're already past that. 4,388 days.
Mm-hmm.
Since we've had a new Splinter Cell game. And we are getting new Splinter Cell, just not as a game. It is that Netflix show. And apparently it's going to be coming out in October. Splinter Cell Death Watch. It's an animated series on Netflix. And it's coming out on October 14th. All it was a teaser trailer that we got to see, and that's great. But, yeah, it's still not the game. But, you know, this will kind of revitalize interest, I believe. Maybe they'll work a little bit harder to get that game going. Ubisoft is not having the best of times right now with a lot of things. Game sales being one of them, but also they're in some court battles over some stuff with some harassment issues, some things that were not going very well within the company, and nobody was doing anything about it. Almost like an Activision thing at the time, but yeah, not great. So we'll see if they can do anything with that property. I hope they can. I miss Splinter Cell. I absolutely miss my stealth action. And there's plenty of games that offer me that stealth action, but there's nothing that gave me the Splinter Cell stealth action. I loved that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Wasn't that the true stealth title that you liked so much?
For me, it was, but yeah. That's opinionated.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else could come back and say, you know, I find the Metal Gear being the true stealth, you know, Metal mm-hmm. Gear Solid and that sort of stuff being a great stealth type game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other games, I'm sure, that have some great stealth stuff in them as well. I mean, what was it? Damn, I've forgotten it.
What, great stealth gameplay?
Well, I say it was stealth. It was more a turn-based Invisible Link.
Okay, yeah. Espionage type thing.
Yeah. The more I thought about that, I realized that's not really stealthy, but it's got
the top-down isometric thing, yeah.
Yeah, but it's also turn-based.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily matter. Your stealth doesn't necessarily matter.
Mm.
I mean, it does when you're setting up a shot, but it's not like free-form stealth
mm-hmm.
That you get out of Splinter Cell or Metal Gear. Those are the two that are really big. I'm trying to think, is there other really good stealth action type games? There's bound to be, but Metal Gear and Splinter Cell are my big go-tos.
Hmm.
Speaking of, Metal Gear Solid Delta, Snake Eater, whatever that is, that remake, mm-hmm. came that released. Would like to play it. Will eventually get around to playing it. Did you pick up your new PlayStation games?
No, I didn't. But I think I looked at the ad for the September PS Plus games.
Yeah,
I didn't. I didn't pick them up.
I don't think there's any. None of them are anything that you would be interested in.
Yeah,
but I always add them anyway.
Yeah, I'll put them in the library eventually. Yeah.
Psychonauts 2 is on the list for this month.
Mm-hmm.
Stardew Valley is on the list for this month, and Viewfinder. None of these three games are anything that you would be interested in. All three of them are games that I would be interested in. Stardew Valley I already have on PC.
Mm-hmm.
Viewfinder was something I was very interested in. That's the one where it's a puzzle type game.
Yeah.
Where you can take pictures of the screen with your Polaroid camera or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then position that picture in such a way that can help you solve the puzzle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I might just pick it up just to see what that's about.
I mean, add them to the library.
I'm just going to add them to the library. I mean, it's not the first time I've had a whole roster of free stuff that's like, I'll probably never play this stuff, but since it's free, stick it to the library.
Uh-huh.
You can always download it later.
Yeah.
Yeah, every time I go, sometimes I go in there and remember going through that list of my library for PlayStation games, I'm like, when did I buy this? Probably didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably free PlayStation Plus, and you just put it in the library and forgot about it.
I've got so many of those, too.
Yeah.
So many of those. It's just like, it's all from PS Plus. Most of my game library, with the exception of Steam, most of my game library on Xbox now, well, Xbox is Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be Xbox Live Gold.
Mm-hmm.
Made up the majority of my library. And most of the games in my library digitally on Xbox is from Xbox Live Gold whenever they gave away free games. Same with PlayStation. If I go to my library of owned games, a ton of them are PlayStation Plus.
Yeah. Speaking of rest, you should have done what you did when you had multiple years of access to...
I looked at that recently. I'm still paid through 2028.
Yeah. Because I had to renew. I just renewed mine for mm-hmm. For another year. That was with tax and everything, 80-something.
Wow.
Yeah, but per year. That's per year. I mean, it was... last time I paid was 60. Now it's 80-something after tax. But yeah, but it's still per year. So if I ever see a deal where I can get more years than mm-hmm. Than the standard price... Yeah, let me know.
Usually you will around the holidays.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Black Friday?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
Usually you're adding 3 months or whatever. I don't know how they do it on there, but you can add
There's a three-month, 6 month, and a one-year package, at least when I re-upped again. But I always went for the year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and there's an ad for college football, EA's college football.
Mm-hmm.
2026, I guess?
I believe 2026, yeah. Speaking of which, maybe see the most recent golf. Because I don't think I bought golf in a few years.
For PlayStation?
Yeah, PlayStation. See if I got on a PS, at least with a PS5. Wait, see if I can do something with that.
I would check the store just to see, because
yeah.
I don't know what's out there. Recently, or what's been released?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's coming up. I don't think we get golf games around this time of the year anyway.
No. No.
Usually, with these games, you get the releases when the sports season starts.
Mm-hmm.
So, college football and NFL would usually get released during the late summer.
Yeah.
In August, sometimes. Baseball, obviously, in March.
Yep.
You get a release on that one. I don't know when NBA 2K and all those other things get released. I'm not sure when that happens.
I think the latest one is 2K25.
For what, football?
No, PGA.
Oh, for PGA.
Yeah,
okay.
Golf, yeah. I mean, that's the latest one out now.
All right,
we can probably do every other year. I think they do every other year.
For golf, every other year?
I think every
maybe.
Other year.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
So it's probably 23 that I picked up last. Okay. Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will jump back into more news, which we've got more to talk about. There's some Blizzard news in there, Steam Deck 2 news in there, EA Skate. We had that as well. The PS6. Maybe. And other stuff. coming up as well. So here's your classic one. It is not House of the Dead. Did you say House of the Dead?
I said House of the Dead.
Yeah, House of the Dead. It is not House of the Dead. I don't think I can play this and you could recognize it. I could try. Nothing, right?
Time Crisis?
It's Time Crisis! Good job. Good job. That's Time Crisis. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Look on your face there, RJ.
No, I was just thinking of what type of genre this would be. Sounds like some gothic horror based.
It's horror, but it's not gothic in any way. It's carnival.
Oh, okay.
Only time I ever saw this was inside movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Over in the arcade section.
Oh, yeah.
Which was mostly nothing.
Two to three stand-ups and a prize machine. Maybe.
Lot more prize machines.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one that I specifically remember was the light one, the light game, where the boxes flash and you've got to make sure you hit the stop button in the center screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to build that up.
Yeah.
In other words, it's going across the screen and you hit stop when it's in the center. Then another set on the next level goes across the screen, and you hit stop, so it's in the center, and you build that center thing up. And if you can get to a certain point, you'd win. I mean, the attractions that and this shows you how far back I go.
Yeah, yeah.
They were all like Nintendo DS machines inside there.
Mm-hmm.
$150 prize.
Yeah.
If you can put in, however how much the thing was, a couple of quarters.
Yeah.
Maybe a dollar worth. You could get that. But it was, by the time it got up to like near the end, because it started wide, which means you had a big area of...
You had a good window.
Yeah.
In the first thoughts.
But there was a certain level where it's like, no, that window gets really tight.
Tight, yeah.
And it goes very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it ends up being, again...
Rigged.
Yes! Yes! Absolutely! Only... Yeah. Every 10th attempt, we'll get something, right?
Yeah.
I'm just throwing out arbitrary numbers, probably more than that. Probably every 50th or 100th attempt.
Yeah.
Or 150th attempt, given the fact that you had Nintendo DSs in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was other stuff. They were all little trinkets and little things like that, but I remember what it was. Anyway, but that's what you had in the movie theaters. You had a light gun game, maybe a sit-down driving game, a couple of stand-ups, if that, and then the rest were prize games.
Mm-hmm.
Claws... The light one that we talked about, you know, nothing that had you go to the counter to redeem anything, because that's not how those things worked.
Mm-mm.
This was not like a Dave and Buster's.
No.
It was, you know, it was just there. So
yeah.
I haven't been into the theater that had the art. It's been a while.
It's been a while since I've been to a theater. Hasn't been anything to make me want to go out and see a film lately.
Oh, I definitely went and saw Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's the last one I went to. It is.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump back into the some news. There's not much. There's some news. By the way, I haven't even looked. I'm sorry, guys in chat. I've just been looking at our news here. There's Lethal Migraine talking about Nintendo. AC Race says, this reminds me of older Nintendo consoles where developers couldn't get a kit without a physical studio, which left many indies out. Hitman! Yeah, I didn't think about Hitman. I knew there was other stealth games, but Lethal Migraine reminded me that there's Hitman.
Yeah, no.
Hitman's great.
Yeah, one of Matt's favorites, yeah.
Yeah. Mark of the Ninja is really good. I liked that.
Oh, yeah, Tenchu, Stealth Assassins.
Yeah. There's a lot more stealth stuff. I just, for whatever reason, wasn't being able to remember them all.
Not quite stealth, but a stealth element, Manhunt.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I remember that.
Yeah.
Not for the stealth. No.
Yeah,
that but was not a game you remembered. Not a game you came away from and thought, boy, that stealth's really good.
But it was a key element playing through that game, especially near the end, man. Goodness.
The stealth was the regular cereal in the bowl. Everything else were the marshmallows.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the only part you ever really liked about the cereal was the marshmallows. And by that I mean the gruesome, you know, stuff that went on in Manhunt. Yeah, it was poof. Going back to your stealth games, though, you mentioned Hitman. And something I watched the other night was there was a 30-minute state of play that PlayStation put on for the new James Bond game.
Mm.
007 First Light, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
Man, basically, it looks like if Uncharted and Hitman had a baby.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say Uncharted, later Uncharted. I would say something like Uncharted 1. And I don't mean that by the looks. I just mean that by the abilities that are given to you, like the way he climbs around, the way he hangs off the walls and that sort of stuff. The traversal.
Traversal, yeah.
The map traversal gives me an Uncharted vibe, and that is about it. Maybe the gunplay does too. I'm not sure, but the thing sold me on it. It sold me even more so when they went over the car chase that takes place. If I'm going by what was shown in the state of play, and they do things where it's like, you know, here's the opening, okay. In the fairness of time type of situation where it's like, we can't show you everything.
Yeah.
So let's speed this up a little bit and get you to, you know, some good parts of this.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not watching this whole stealth stuff play out over and over and over again, which they did a couple of times going through it. The different gadgets that you're able to do, the different ways that you can approach situations, how to distract people from things so you can get your stuff done.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you, it ain't James Bond without some gadgets.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, you get a couple of gadgets, and you also use distraction. You use the ability to kind of look at your environment and see what you're going to do with it. And there's multiple ways to, I suppose, solve a problem is a good way to put it. Like, you need
There's a Hitman element right
there.
Yeah,
exactly. You can disguise yourself. You can distract.
Mm-hmm.
You can do things like that. You can. I don't know. But there was a car chase set piece, and even the car chase was great. At first I couldn't tell if it was automatically being driven by the PC or by the player. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But as I watched more of it, I was like, okay, this is a set piece. This is, again, let me go back to Uncharted. If we go to Uncharted 2 with the train sequence, where you're on this train that just continues until you trigger events that happen on that train and get to the end of it. Same thing with this car chase. This car chase goes on for as long as it needs to until you trigger certain events that happen throughout there. And you will inevitably do that as you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really cool that they implemented that. I could be speaking off of, again, not having a good memory of other games that may have done things like this, but I don't remember anyone that's incorporated a car chase in there. Plenty of car chases, yes. GTA has had car chases. Spider-Man has car chases where you're chasing down a car to you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But to incorporate some really cool set design pieces in there
mm-hmm.
of jumps and crashes and swerves and dodges and all these different things that you've got to do in order to, you know, finish that level. It's a level,
mm-hmm.
essentially. But instead of a point A, well, there is a point A, but point B is always moving with you
mm-hmm.
until
you take out all pursuers.
Until you trigger what you've got to trigger to make that make that happen. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really well done. Then they showed another, like, once the car chase was over, you're at an airport or you're at a military airport and you do some stealth, and then you chase down the plane, you get on top of the plane, you fight some guys as the plane's taking off while you're on top of it. Again, another amazing set piece.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think you get into the plane and you have some stuff go on in there. Then you fall out of the plane while it's in the air, and there's this whole skydive section. Again, that is this massive, it's just set piece after set piece after set piece.
So it's like wet.
Well, wet, or to go back to Uncharted references, Uncharted 3, which has the fall out of the plane sequence as well. So this is why my Uncharted comparison comes into all of this. You've got Uncharted 1 with the just hanging on walls, doing your scurrying and whatever else that you do, the traversal through the thing. You have Uncharted 2 train sequence that represents the chase sequence in First Light, and then you have the plane sequence, which is also Uncharted 3 in that one. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they pulled from there. I'm just saying that this is the best way I can relate to what they showed.
Maybe they did.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
It worked for them. Why not? We shove them all into one game.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, sold me on it. It's a single-player game, which is fantastic. There's no... I mean, yeah, there is, like, digital deluxe editions and things like that. But there's not, like, you know, pay $5 to get three Bond bucks inside the game where you can purchase upgrades. It's nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
At best, there may be some DLC I don't even think a season pass would work on this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It would just come with the digital deluxe edition. You get the DLC that's planned for it later, if there is any.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there is. Yes, there is a release date for Bond. It is coming out March 26th of next year, I believe. Of next year. Not this year, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, March 26th of 2026. So you got some time. And it's also being released on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. PlayStation doing their state of play with it made me think it was PS exclusive. Everything that was shown off gave it the feel that it was PS exclusive. But when I actually, you know, did a Google, I noticed that it was getting released on all platforms, exception of the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So I could be wrong about the Switch as well, but I saw it say Xbox, PlayStation, and I thought, okay, yeah, we're getting a PC, Xbox, and PlayStation version. Mm-hmm. So yeah, consoles and PC on that release. So there you go. Looked really good, though. The stealth is not as... what's a good word to put it? Central?
Mm-hmm.
As, like, a Hitman game?
Mm-hmm.
But the action parts of it is also not as central as, say, an Uncharted game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're not always doing one or the other. You're not always... you don't always have to fight your way through something, and you don't have to always stealth your way through something.
You can.
You can do it any way that you need to,
yeah.
You know, or make it up on the fly if you get discovered, or if you're not, you know, whatever the case.
Yeah. Well, the way I can see it is that's just one of those situations where as soon as you're caught, the game's over, start over again.
No.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, that's what the mission parameter states.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the only way I can see it, a stealth being, because some folks just want to play the game loud and blatant, even if it is with James Bond or some...
Splinter Cell had that. Yeah. There were some missions in Splinter... because you would get a mission briefing before you would start, and it's like, hey, this is a... you know, you got to go do this, and you got to infiltrate, and you cannot be seen. Like, mm-hmm. that's, they would tell you in the mission brief, like, you can't be seen. If they see you, then it's game over. You have to start the level again.
Yeah, it's like, what's the situation I'm thinking of? Like, oh, as soon as they see you, the hostage is killed. Can't have
that
happen.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But that's the way it works in any mission. Mm-hmm. Like, even if I had just started the mission and I was hidden, but maybe I left my gun on the ground. As soon as any sort of red flag, anything that tipped off your enemy to go and alert or sound the alarm,
mm-hmm.
game over. You got to start the level again.
Found a body.
And so I mean, it was immediate, too. Yeah. It was like, oh, I guess I didn't do that right. You know, start over. So,
oh, Sniper Elite.
Yeah, that's stealth another
wise.
One. Yeah.
Stealth-wise, yeah.
That would be another one. Although, lately in Sniper Elite, they don't even do that now. It's, I mean, yeah, everything should be stealthy, but if you get discovered, it's like, well, feel free to go guns a-blazing.
I have a gun, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you don't have a fast gun, not as fast as what they have.
Yeah.
Normally, you have a handgun, and you have a sniper rifle, and that's it. Now, if you kill other people, you can pick up whatever they've got and go through it. But your loadout is for stealth. Their loadout is for death.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care how loud they are.
Yeah.
So even when you get those guns, you still have to think about, well, if I pull this trigger, I'm going to alert everybody in the area here where I'm at.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a thing of, yeah. God, I forgot about Sniper Elite. That's another one I could play. I think I have four or five. I don't have the most recent.
If you got PS Plus, you got 3 and 4 for free.
Yeah, but I mean on PC.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think I do have the most recent. Well, I say the most recent one.
Resistance, right?
That one I don't. That's the most recent.
Okay, yeah, okay.
It's the one prior to that that I think I picked up.
Yeah, five.
That's which I think is five.
Yeah.
And I haven't played that in a while. I haven't done some good. I missed that. My bullet cam.
Mm-hmm.
My X-ray cam, where the bullet goes through the body, you see everything, bones breaking and stuff like that. It's good stuff.
Helmets rattling. Yeah, all that type of stuff. Yeah.
There's a video on, I think it's on the in-game chat channel, that I did with nothing but edits of my playthrough on Sniper Elite 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which title it was. But it's all the...
Africa or France?
Africa.
Three. Yeah.
It was Africa. And all of I recorded a long playthrough of me doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back and I only show you the headshot. Well, I say the headshots, but the X-ray, the bullet cam shots that I did.
The marquee bullet shots that you've got, yeah.
No, I don't show you me walking. I don't show me walking through and doing stealth all the time and taking as long as I do to run a stealth game.
Yeah.
Which I take a very long time to run a stealth game.
Well, that can Sniper Elite, you have to take time to set up a perfect shot anyway.
Well, not only that, but you got to figure out where the patrols are
to
make sure that you're okay or to take out anybody that's nearby that you need to take out before you set up the long shots or the big shots or whatever they may be.
Is anybody going to hear this shot when I take it?
Then you got like vehicles patrolling. And I mean, I would sit there for a good 30 minutes on a level. I mean, first off, I would scout as much as I could.
You have to.
Which takes a whole lot of time. I know. You say you have to, but then you watch some of these people who do demos or whatever else they're doing, and it's just like, God, they're going real fast. Like watching the demos from the First Light, the 007 thing.
Yeah.
Watching these guys play through it, I'm like, man, he's going to get he's not going to get seen. Okay. It just, like, he's not waiting to learn the patterns. Of course, he already knows. He's a developer.
Mm-hmm.
He's not waiting to learn the patterns.
Better he turned it off.
He just, yeah, who knows? What else do we have news-wise? Because we don't have very much left as far as time is concerned. Staff reduction, yeah, there were more people who lost jobs, and that really absolutely sucks.
Was that 3 or 4 consecutive shows where we had to talk about someone, folks losing their jobs?
2K, they let people go at Firaxis. Those are the people that made XCOM and the Civilization games. There was another one that I thought... it doesn't look like I have it in here, but I think there was another studio that did a lot of layoffs as well.
Mm-hmm.
We got some gameplay footage from Prey 2, and I don't mean the Prey that the guys from... Was it Avalanche? No. the people who did the most recent Prey game that was set in space where objects were not always what they appeared to be. I don't know if you remember that. It's the same folks that did Dishonored and Dishonored 2.
Wasn't Human Head Studios, was it?
No.
Dishonored 2?
Yeah. Dishonored and Dishonored 2. And I'm trying to remember the dev studio of that. Arcane?
Okay. Arcane Studios, yeah.
Yeah, okay. God, sometimes my memory impresses me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it just fails massively. Most times it fails massively, my memory. But anyway, Arcane did that. Arcane did Prey. The Prey 2 I'm talking about goes way the hell back. Mm. Do you remember a game called Prey?
Yeah.
On, well, I think at the time it would have been the 360 is where I would have played it.
Mm-hmm.
You played, I think the guy's name was Tommy. He was Native American,
mm-hmm.
which played a role in the game, and I can't remember in what way, but it played a role in the game. The game starts you in this bar out in the Midwest.
Once there was a lore, some type of the lore involving the...
There was lore involved, yes. His ancestors and stuff like that.
Lore, things like
yes.
that, yeah.
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. It absolutely was. But the opening of the game is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off, you're in a bar, and you can go and play some of the arcade games. Meanwhile, on the jukebox, I think, is Barracuda by Heart that's playing, which is fine. Nice long intro, nice long version. It take a while. But as soon as you trigger the event where the aliens come, for whatever happens, it kicks in to Don't Fear the Reaper, Blue Oyster Cult. Like, and everybody gets sucked up into the spaceship, or you get sucked up into the spaceship. And everything in the spaceship, or everything where you're at, is all organic. So you shoot the doors to open them because they're organic, and they look like... They look like...
I want to say it looks...
Body parts.
It looks like something in Dead Space.
It's kind of.
Yeah.
Or Callisto. Very like... Yeah. Very like, what am I walking in? This is... Ugh.
Yeah.
But it was really, really good. Anyway, we knew of Prey 2. We saw a teaser for Prey 2. In fact, I don't know why my brain remembers some things and forgets others. Mm-hmm. Prey 2, the little teaser we got for it, used a Johnny Cash song. It was a cover of... It was a Johnny Cash cover, not the original band. It was Rusty Cage, I think is what it was. And I can't remember the band that did that. It's on the... That's the thing I can't remember. I can't remember the original band that did Rusty Cage. Is it Soundgarden?
May have been, because I think I heard that in Road Rash.
Yeah, probably.
The remake of Road Rash from on EA.
Yeah. So anyway, there was that, and I remember me and James like, oh, this is good, we're getting Prey. And then it got canceled, and we didn't get anything from it.
Mm.
Instead, we got Arcane's Prey game that they did. But now, I remember over the years there were talks of, like, never it getting released, but talks of what had happened to the game. And maybe some screenshots here and there of somebody doing a demo. And then we got some video this week. It's like a very long segment of video from the actual game that got released. It's not getting released anytime soon. The game is not going to ever come out. It's done. It's dead. But there is video from way back when, prior to it being canceled, where they've got some video of it. And it was interesting to go back and kind of watch some of that. I will say the trailer made it look a lot better than what I saw for that game, but it was an unfinished product, so it doesn't necessarily matter. Anyway, we're running out of time, so we are going to go. And we will be back next week. We have our interview next week that'll start off the show. Again, throw in your questions into our Honor chat section on our Discord. And if you need that Discord, go to our website, ingamechat.net. Scroll all the way down to the bottom. There's a link to our Discord, which I think still works. You can get in there. If it doesn't, just hit me up, YouTube or any of the places that you know where I'm at. Just hit me up and I can get you in there, no problem. So, all right. Well, you guys have a fantastic week and a wonderful week here. And we will see you next Saturday. I'm going to leave you here with another classic arcade light gun experience. This one's so classic that the music I picked actually has sound effects and voice lines in it. Because I couldn't find anything that could take those out. I don't know if you'll hear them in the amount of time we have, but this comes from Area 51. You remember that, right? Also in movie theater lobbies, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, have a great week, folks. We will see you next Saturday.